listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popcheck and his wife and co-author Lisa Popcheck. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength.
Love you, Lord, with our heart, mind, and strength. I will live your word with our heart.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Catholic psychotherapist, author, Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic family life coach, Lisa Popcheck.
And we're taking your calls right now. Our toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Once again, that number, 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
How you doing today, folks? You having a good day? I hope so. If not, then we're here for you. Pick up the phone, give us a call. We'll talk about those tough marriage or family or personal struggles that you are facing in your life. If you're having a tough time today and you just don't know where to turn for practical, effective, and, yeah, faithful answers, we're here to help you out. All you got to do is dial the toll-free number to get the free advice at 877-573-7825.
Maybe you're feeling a little, I don't know, that kind of bleh that comes with this time of the year where you're just like, oh.
There just aren't words for it, are there?
No, there aren't. I know here in Steubenville today it's very rainy. You know, it's hard to get your energy up. You're thinking, when is it just going to be beautiful and sunny and I can go out and do things and feel better? And maybe you're not feeling so great. And you're thinking, yeah, it's not really the weather. It's the fact that my relationship with my spouse isn't really as sunny and bright as it should be. It's the fact that I cannot seem to get these kids to do what I'm telling them to do, to behave the way I want them to behave, or to think in a moral way the way I want them to think in a moral way. I feel ineffective as a parent. Perhaps it's the people at church that are just driving you nuts, and if you have to deal with them one more time on that committee or in that choir, you think your head's going to explode. Maybe it's the in-laws. Maybe it's the folks at work. Maybe it's you. Maybe you just don't quite know how to achieve those goals and become that person that you would like to become, the person you know God is encouraging you to be, and yet you can't quite figure out how to put all those pieces together. Well, with any puzzle, sometimes it takes fresh eyes and some skills to say, can't you see it? It's right over there. There's the corner piece, and once you find it, it'll all fit together. We're here to help you do that today. 877-573-7825 is our number. Give us a call. We'll help you out.
In addition to taking your calls today, we are also going to share some interesting news about how a new technology is destroying our kids' grades. We'll find out more about that and what you need to know to help rein that tendency in. More coming up on that in just a few. But first, it's time to get started with our prayer in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you and with all the good people who are tuning in right now. Lord, we ask your blessing on this hour, that it would be a time of blessing for all of those who are struggling in some area of their life, their relationships, wherever it is that there is pain or hurt or anger or anxiety or depression. I ask you now, Lord, we come before you and we ask you to please be with all of those individuals and bring the peace that surpasses all understanding. Make our hearts whole in your love and strengthen us with the grace that we need to live a more joyful and abundant life. Transform us that we might be able to be effective ministers of your gospel of life, and that we might be able to transform our relationships and the community in which we live for the glory of God. And we ask this in the name of the Father
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom.
Please, Mother, pray for us.
Well, before we take a look at this study and start taking your calls at 877-573-7825, it's time for Living in the Word. That's where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from Revelation chapter 19, verse 5. All you who fear God, both the great and the small, give praise to him, for his salvation and strength have come, the power of Christ. Amen. What an important verse that reminds us of the power of Christ to save us, to strengthen us in our weakness. It's not up to you, folks. It's not up to us. It's up to God. And He can work through us and give us the strength we need to rise to whatever challenge we face. Commit this verse to memory so that God's Word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Again, it's Revelation chapter 19, verse 5. All you who fear God, both the great and the small, give praise to Him, for His salvation and strength have come, the power of Christ.
Yay!
Amen.
But amen.
All good news. All good news. Well, we're taking your calls in just a few at 877-573-7825. Once again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Well, you know, all of you either are on Facebook or know someone who is. I can guarantee you that. And probably your kids are definitely on Facebook.
Or how can you to be?
Yeah.
One or the other.
For those of you who are living under a rock and don't know what Facebook is, of course, it's a new, well, not new, really. It's a social networking website that allows people to post pretty much whatever they want and keep all of their friends up to date on all the doings of their everyday lives. Plus, it's a huge time waster. It's fun for those who are into that sort of thing and spend a lot of time on it doing, you know, all kinds of stuff. Well, according to a new study, college students who use Facebook spend less time studying and have lower grade point averages than students who have not signed up for the social networking website, according to a pilot study at one university. However, and this is the part I thought was interesting, more than three-quarters of Facebook users claimed that their use of the social networking site doesn't interfere with their studies. So what we got here is college students who are using Facebook are getting lower grades than college students who don't use it. But of the students who are using it, they're not even self-aware enough to realize that it's affecting them.
I can have another drink because I can stop anytime I want. There I can.
I can post more flair. Really, it's no problem at all.
It's just 5 minutes, 4 hours later. Yeah, this is something that I think every parent sees, and not just on a college level, although we're not there to try to control it once they're away in college. I'm sure that even though this study was done on college students, the same is true for the high school students or the middle school students that are out there using it.
Well, interestingly enough, and again, this was a study of college students, but I'm sure that it applies to our high schoolers as well. Typically, according to the study, Facebook users in the study had GPAs between 3.0 and 3.5, while non-users had GPAs between 3.5 and 4.0. That was interesting.
Wow.
Also, according to the study, users of Facebook said they averaged 1 to 5 hours a week of studying, while non-users studied 11 to 15 hours per week. So a pretty significant shift in the effort and energy direction there. So, you know, the point to parents, again, is not to control the use of Facebook and other social networking media like Twitter and those sorts of things, but rather to help our kids develop the self-discipline they need to have the control that's necessary to apportion their time effectively, and also the self-awareness that enables them to know that, you know, spending, quote-unquote, 10 minutes on Facebook, you know, usually translates into 10 hours.
You know, the funny thing about this study is that they're saying that the kids who are in science, technology, engineering, math, and business are more likely to be the ones using Facebook, because, of course, they're high-tech kids, than students who are majoring in things like humanities or social sciences. So you've got these kids who have exceptional brains, academic skills, have had enough drive in their life to get into a college in a very competitive major like engineering or math or technology or science. And then it just starts to drizzle away because they're on the internet for their major, and there's Facebook one click away, and they end up frittering away a lot of time. Because, hey, you know, if I had to sit there and do major mathematical problems for engineering, or chat with my friends from high school that I miss a whole bunch, or kids that I knew who are now on another campus, or even the kid in the other dorm who I don't feel like actually getting up and walking across the quad to go and see, Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Well, I have to say, that's a very positive and charitable way to put it. I mean, there, I am aware of a slightly more negative side to the whole thing. There has been another study that I'm familiar with that takes a look at the fact that the more Facebook friends you have, the fewer friends you tend to have in real life.
I believe that.
So we've
true,
got the nerd
sure.
factor here when we're talking about science and technology majors. You know, the tendency to make many and shallow friends on the internet as opposed to real interpersonal relationships in real life.
Well, that's interesting to say. I know a lot of engineering majors, and they're all really personable people. I haven't actually, and I know this kind of runs counterintuitively, but I haven't known a lot of engineering majors who were nerdy. I've known a lot of engineering majors who really have it all together, both socially and academically, and they're a lot of fun to be with because they're very, very smart and
try not to trade in stereotypes here on Heart Minus Think anyway.
Well, that's just my experience where, you know, I happen to think that most of the engineering majors I know are a lot of fun to be with, but I think that whether it's because it's one click away or because it's a lot easier when you're in college, reaching out and making brand new friends can be really intimidating. I mean, there are studies that say freshman year in college can be the most depressing year of a person's life because you've left everything. You no longer have your parents to turn to. You don't quite know how to handle anything from getting to your classes to, you know, using the new, in some colleges, these massive, you know, bathrooms where you're sharing a shower with 50 people and suddenly you're, you know, it's not just mom and dad and sis and brother and you each have your own bathroom at home. It's a whole new way of living, group meals in a big cafeteria. And to reach out in the midst of all of this new and all of this chaos to make new friends, to join those committees, to become part of something, can be very, very intimidating. And certainly there are a lot of kids out there who are saying, oh, well, I'll join a sorority or fraternity, but then, you know, is that the right place to be? Is that the right influence? It's kind of scary. I've read news stories. Should I do that? It's a lot easier to just get a really big social network on something like Facebook and feel like you're part of a group. And then not make friends that are real and three-dimensional and going to school with you and that you can have real relationships with. The problem is, in the midst of that loneliness, you're on there more than you're studying for your coursework.
I think the big challenge for parents, of course, is that the technology is fast outpacing our ability as parents to keep up with it and to guide our children and disciple them in the proper use of it. But, you know, when you're aware of these sorts of things, that Facebook users on average have grade point averages of a full point or at least a half a point lower than non-Facebook users, you know, it behooves us as parents to really take the time to be aware of how much time our kids are spending online in general and on Facebook in particular, because, you know, there's a tendency to kind of, well, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And if our kids aren't squeaking because they're online, then we have a tendency to think that everything's fine. And everything may not be fine. I don't even mean just because they're trolling inappropriate sites. Maybe they're just spending entirely too much time in the virtual world and not enough in the real one. And there's nothing wrong with being on these sorts of sites, but teaching our children how to be good stewards of their time is absolutely critical. And so making sure that we've got good schedules. You know, one of the things that I run into with my clients who are having problems with their kids and schoolwork is that they're really afraid to set some limits where their kid comes home and continues to do the work. They'll always say to me, well, I just feel bad because they've been working in school all day, and so they deserve a break when they come home, and then they can do their homework later. You know, I get the intention behind that, but generally speaking, I think it's a pretty bad idea. And here's why. You know, if you've been working in school all day, your mind is geared toward working more. You know, you're just in that working place. Right? But then if you take time off to go play some games and to go decompress and to get your snack, do you really want to go back to work? It seems to me that you're fighting the inertia then. If you're already moving in that direction of getting your work done, it's just better to come home and finish it up so that then you can go on to the next part of your day.
And that's something, of course, that we have to start training our college students who are no longer under our watchful eye to do. And perhaps even suggesting something like, okay, you know, your computer is even going with you wirelessly to the library now. It's not like I can say, okay, don't hang out with your friends at the dorm, go up to the library and study. So setting a timer, you know, giving yourself a specific amount of time every day that you can be on Facebook and then working out the self-discipline to say, all right, I've done my half hour. I'm done. I have to go and study. And trying to force yourself to do something like that and teaching some of those skills to your kids is really an important thing because they're clueless out there. They really are.
All right, well, keep it in mind. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength, and we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Are your kids having a hard time prioritizing their time? Are you struggling in this, what would be, I guess, about the third quarter or that or thereabouts of your student's school year?
A lot of us are into the fourth, well into the fourth, and looking down the barrel of, yay, it's going to end soon, and then what do we do with them?
Yeah, but if you're having a hard time keeping them on track, we'd love to hear from you. Of course, if you want to change this up and talk about your marriage, about the difficult circumstances in your own personal life, whatever it is that is causing you to struggle and to trip over yourself, give us a call. We'll work it out together at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your questions, comments, and insights coming up right after this.
I'm the grateful mother of a second grade student at Spiritus Sanctus Academy. I'm thankful because our school is the kind of school that can only be described as a rare treasure. If you want to find a private Catholic K-8 school with a strong academic program centered on Christ and a love for our faith, the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, and our stellar faculty invite you to come and see our beautiful Plymouth or Ann Arbor school. Join us for daily Mass or visit our website at spiritussanctus.org.
Good day, I'm Al Cresta. If you go by what the mainstream media says, the future looks pretty dim. There's a lot of gloom and doom out there. But that's not the Catholic way of approaching things. In fact, at Ave Maria Radio, the future sounds great. And that's because we know that we're broadcasting the most hopeful message of all time. Christ is risen. And that's really good news. Our children and grandchildren need to hear that. And we want to be there to broadcast that message for them when they're ready to hear it. And that time is coming. So let's prepare for the future today. Together we can spread the only real hope there is. The Ave Maria Radio Spring Membership Drive is coming up April 20th through the 24th. Join us, won't you? Tune in, make a pledge of support, and let's not let the naysayers have their way. Let's be men and women of faith, hope, and charity. The dates again are April 20th through the 24th, and with your help, we can make certain that the future will always sound great.
This is Father John Carafi, inviting you to join me August 15, 2009, at HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York, for a one-day conference entitled Lord and Giver of Life. For more information and to register, visit FatherCarafiLive.com or call 1-888-223-6000. I look forward to seeing you Saturday, August 15, 2009.
Everyone, you're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm your host, Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls right now. Our toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Once again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address
is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. And right now, Greg, we're going to Pam in Michigan.
Hey there, Pam. Welcome to the program. What can we do for you today?
Oh, well, a question for you is, I'll be married 30 years this end of this summer, and I'm just questioning, my husband's not Catholic, and of course I'm striving and praying that he will be one day, but as we get older in age and sort of seems like we're going our separate ways in some ways, how do I keep my marriage a godly marriage and all that God wants me to avoiding as much frustration and things so that the kids also see that, you know, we're a unity of one?
Well, I mean, a part of the problem here is that you're not a unity of one, right? I mean, and so we've got to find some ways to draw the two of you closer together. I guess I'm curious, just as a follow-up, you were saying that it's not just these religious differences that are driving you apart, that you're growing apart in other ways now. Why is that?
Well, I think that we've actually always been very opposite, except for the deep basis of our morals. But if I say pink, he likes, you know, it's green to him. We've just been very opposite all our lives. And he had a a tremendously horrible upbringing and adoption, and was sexually abused by his adopted father. Just nasty, horrible things. But when we met as teenagers and became very close friends, actually first, and formed a bond based on that, and then eventually grew into marriage. So we're opposite, even in things as to me, black and white is of abortion. I'm very against it, and he feels, you know, people have their right to make their choice.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to, you know, and he won't discuss politics or religion or things like this. And the church that he was brought up in is a fundamental church. And so I know he's confused because the people of the church, once he was adopted, it hurt him with this abuse. It confused him in that respect as to his feeling is, where has God been to protect me? And my feeling is, my gosh, look how he helped you achieve who you are today. So,
all right, well, Pam, you know, I think that what I'm hearing is not just a religious problem, but an overall failure in the generosity that's the heart of a really healthy relationship. You know, when you have two different people who are together, that's not necessarily a problem. I mean, sometimes God will call two very different people together to marriage because he knows that each brings certain gifts to the table that the other needs to learn about. And so by responding to the invitation that God has written on our mate's heart, we grow and become the people that God wants us to be, the people that we would never become if we were left to our own devices, right? But for whatever reason, there's been a failure to respond generously to each other's hearts and to try to seek the truth and goodness and beauty in all the things your mate finds true and good and beautiful. And I think that's where you want to focus your effort, not necessarily just on the religious differences right now, but on every aspect of your relationship where that generosity is falling short. You might, at this point, I mean, you've been doing this for 30 years, so you've got some pretty ingrained patterns in that regard. And I'm going to really encourage you, actually, to seek out some counseling to address these kinds of issues, especially since you're dealing with a husband who has such serious baggage that he's carrying around with him, with the sexual abuse and the attachment problems and all of that. You know, I suspect that he's probably pretty self-protective, and that may very well be the reason for this lack of generosity. But wherever it comes from, it's still an offense against the dignity of marriage. And so, you know, you can gently and lovingly challenge him in this, but you're probably going to need some support and some coaching on how to make that happen and how to work with him to do it. But I definitely think that that's the issue here. It's not so much a religious issue as much as it is the self-protection that he's taught himself is stopping him from being as generous in every aspect of the relationship that he needs to be in order for the two of you to have that kind of oneness and intimacy and partnership that you're talking about. And if you want to be able to display that oneness to the kids, this is the work that I think that you guys need to be focusing on next. And in order to get the help that you need, I'm going to recommend that you get in touch with us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute. You can learn more about our telephone counseling practice by going online to exceptionalmarriages.com or by just calling to make an appointment at 740-266-6461. Again, that's the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling line, 740-266-6461. Do you have a follow-up question on that, Pam, or is that... Okay.
Oh, that was great. Thank you.
You bet. God bless you, Pam, and thanks so much for calling in to the program today. We will certainly keep your marriage in our prayers today. Yeah, folks, you know, generosity is so critically important. We have a tendency to kind of carve out our own little comfort zones in marriage and say, well, this is who I am, this is where I like to live, this is where I want to be, don't ask me to leave this. If you really love me, you won't ask me to leave behind where I'm comfortable. But, you know, love is willing to step outside those boundaries for the sake of love. And if, as long as I'm not being asked to do something that's demeaning in some way or objectively immoral in some way, then I'm obliged. I'm obliged to reach out to you and respond positively to the invitation God is giving to me through the needs that he's given to you.
And I think that, you know, for 30 years, Pam has tried very hard to respect the fact that her husband went through some horrific things, the lack of attachment to his biological parents, the abuse at the hands of the people he should be able to trust the most, which were his adoptive parents, who should have, you know, his best interest at heart at all times. Having that mixed up in the milieu of them being religious people is very difficult. Being understanding for 30 years was a loving thing to do. At some point, we have to say, okay, I've proved that you can trust me. I'm still here. Now it's time to edge you out of this comfort zone and heal you and work on this and get you the help you need to be able to heal from all of this rather than curl up in a cocoon and keep everybody you love, including me, at arm's length so that nobody can hurt you again.
With that, we're going back to the phones at 877-573-7825 with Kathy in San Antonio, Texas. Kathy, welcome to the program. How can we help you today? Kathy, are you there? Kathy, going once. All right, we seem to have lost Kathy.
She was on the cell phone. She may have dropped off. Kathy, give us a call back.
877-573-7825 is the toll-free number. You can call with your questions, comments, and insights about the difficulties that you are facing in living a more faithful and abundant life. 877-573-7825.
You know, Greg, I'd like to just address what she's going through with her husband again, what Pam has gone through for 30 years. We don't realize how much what happens to us as children really does affect who we are as adults if we don't try to create a new person in ourselves. If we are blessed and have a wonderful and supportive family and a great childhood, it can lead us to be wonderful, strong, godly people who can go out and shape the world. Most of us have something in the way we were raised that we have to work through as adults and let go of or transform somehow to make us the healthy adults we want to be. And some of us, in the case of Pam's husband, have an awful lot that we're carrying around that tell us we have to protect ourselves, that we're not good enough, that nobody will ever stay with us, that nobody will ever love us. The messages in our heads go on and on and on, and our reaction is one of self-protection. But what actually ends up happening is that it becomes self-harm because we don't allow those people into our lives or God into our lives or even ourselves into our own minds long enough to begin to do the healing and the work to see what good God can bring out of something that's really tragic and bad.
You know, and the issue here, Lisa, is that brokenness really isn't the problem. We're all broken in some way. Every single one of us has things that we struggle against, things that we carry around with us, things that have caused us harm and are holding us back. That's not really the problem. The problem is how we respond to those things. If you've got a person who recognizes that brokenness, who recognizes their limitations, who recognizes their struggles, and is working mightily against them and seeking the support, the accountability, the help, taking the responsibility that they need to, well, that's what good people do. Good people take responsibility for their stuff, right? But if you're broken and you're prideful and defensive and angry and self-protective about it, well, that's a whole other thing, and that actually causes many, many greater problems. It's the self-harm that you were just talking about. It drives others away from us. And it drives us away from God, and it drives us even away from ourselves as we become alienated from the purpose for which we were created. Well, if you are struggling to make that connection in your life, in your own life, with God, with others, give us a call. We'll work it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, the toll-free number, 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your questions, comments, and insights right after this.
At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investing is far more than a numbers game. Investment performance is of utmost importance, and equally so are issues such as abortion and pornography. Chances are, these are important to you as well. To learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds' pro-life investing strategies and our investment results, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit www.avemariafunds.com. Ave Maria Mutual Funds can help you feel good about your investment decisions, smart investing, and Catholic values. Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at avemariafund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. Don't miss Arrested by Mercy, Caught in the Healing Glance of Jesus, Saturday, April 18th at St. Barnabas in East Point. This day-long event, sponsored by the Servants of Jesus of Divine Mercy and Right to Life of Michigan, will focus on truth, forgiveness, healing, and mercy, especially in regards to abortion. For further details, call 248-553-8800. All are welcome to St. Joseph's in Detroit for Divine Mercy Orchestral Mass, Sunday, April 19th. The Mass will feature Mozart's Coronation Mass music, and priests will be available for confession before it begins. Call 248-250-6005 for more information. You can find many more events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077. Catholic Radio, it's yours to keep and to grow.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, the toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Before we return to your calls, it's time for Letters from Home, where we take a brief look at the writings of a brother or sister in the Lord who's gone before us as a way of encouraging us on our journey toward our heavenly home. Today's letter comes to us from St. Francis de Sales, who writes, "Do not fear what may happen tomorrow, for the same loving Father who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or give you the unfailing strength to bear it. But be at peace and put aside your anxiety." St. Francis de Sales reminding us that God is present in all of our circumstances. We just need to put our faith in Him. With that, let's return to the calls. 877-573-7825.
Right now, Greg, we're going to Kathy in San Antonio.
Hey, Kathy, welcome to the program. How can we help you today? Kathy in San Antonio?
Oh, we lost her again. That's okay. That cell phone's just cutting out on her like
okay,
crazy.
Let's go
we're
going
to go to Joe in Texas.
Joe, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Joe, what's up?
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just great. What's up?
Okay, yeah, my I guess you could say concern is my son and my daughter-in-law.
Okay.
We were out there, see, I'm calling from Plano, and he lives in Midland, Texas. And we were out there the weekend for Easter, and they had a kind of like a fallout, and he wound up coming home with us.
And so your son and his wife had an argument over Easter, and he came home with you. What was the argument about, and why did he come home with you?
Well, see, the thing is that I could hear him in the bedroom. They were kind of guys were a little argument, and I could hear him say, "Stop it, stop it." The next thing I knew, he was walking out of the bedroom saying, "You're lucky I didn't hit you." And then a couple of seconds later, she walked out and she went to her mother's, where the mother lives in Odessa. And about 30 minutes later, she called. She talked to my wife and she said, "I want your son out of the house. I'm tired of him. He's been abusing me, you know." And the thing about it is that they have a 1-year-old baby.
So your question for us, Joe, is what exactly?
I mean, what do I do? I mean, to help them out, you know?
You push them to reconcile and get the support that they need to grow up, because neither one of them is behaving in a particularly adult manner, mm-hmm. and they need to get some good support and counseling to get the self-control over their own emotional reactions and learn how to communicate and problem-solve together. This is definitely
right.
a situation
right.
where they're going to need some counseling. So either going online to find some good support locally at marriagefriendlytherapists.com or putting them in touch with us through the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling practice at exceptionalmarriages.com is going to be important because, you know, how long have they been married, Joe?
2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you got two young people here who just aren't responding appropriately to each other and to their own anger. You know, whenever you get to the place where, you know, you're saying to your wife, you're lucky I didn't hit you. No, she's not lucky that he didn't hit her. He's being a jerk, and he needs to learn how to get control of that. And honestly,
it sounds like she might have been being a jerk, too.
I mean, believe that's true.
It sounds like both of them are just giving into pure emotionality and not dealing with any kind of skills on trying to solve problems at all.
But, Joe, you know what? As the dad here of the young man who said that to his wife, I think that you need to kind of lay that out directly and say, listen, son, I don't know what this was about, and I want you to get the help that you need here for your marriage. But, you know, anytime you let your emotional temperature get up to that place, you're out of control. And, you know, that's a personal problem as well as a marital problem. And I hope, son, that you'll get the help that you need. Here are some numbers to call. All right, Joe?
Okay, yeah, sure.
All right, thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, I mean, look, as parents, we need to support our kids in reconciling and not be afraid to tell our adult children that they're wrong. You know, that kind of emotional response to a problem is just not appropriate at any age. And it doesn't matter how crazy you think your wife is or how crazy you think your husband is. The point where you start either thinking or threatening physical violence, you've gone over the line. And you need to get help. You know, so getting that person the access to the resources they need to get the emotional control that's necessary to have a healthy relationship, and then the relationship skills that are necessary to solve the problems, both critically important. Again, for local referrals, marriagefriendlytherapists.com, a great, great resource, and also the Pastoral Solutions Institute, where I and my associate counselors can work with people in a faith-integrated context over the telephone. You can learn more about that by going to exceptionalmarriages.com or by calling us at 740-266-6461. 740-266-6461. Right now, though, we are taking your calls right here, right now, live at 877-573-7825. Again, toll free, 877-573-7825. Let's go to Kay in Ann Arbor. Kay, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, Kay. What can we do for you?
Yes, I'm calling because I wanted to know. I suffer from depression. I have for many years. I take medication. We have a very dysfunctional family, quite a few different issues. And
When you say a very dysfunctional family, you mean your family of origin or you mean you, your husband, and kids?
Family of origin. I'm trying so hard to change it with our children. But many times when I get very, very upset, I just have the tendency to just go to sleep. I don't want to deal with things, and it's a better way not to think about it for a while. But when I wake up, I still have the same problems anyways.
And true enough. Kate, you're married?
Yes.
And how many children do you have?
Four.
You have four children. How old are you, Kay?
51.
Okay, so you're 51. You've been married for a while. You've got four kids, and you're still depressed about your family of origin stuff.
Yes.
How involved with your family of origin are you at this point?
Very involved. Very involved.
Why?
One parent is very sick. And so I try to help out a lot.
And you're still getting pulled into what? The family drama, the abuse?
What's the situation there? Which the family drama, which, you know, I don't want to. I really, really don't, because I get so upset. It's usually their way or the highway, and it's like if I don't agree or if I don't do what's supposed to be done, they get upset. And so many times I try to stay away. I try to stay away at, you know, periods of time. But when I do try to help out, something goes wrong, I get upset, and then I have a hard time dealing with it.
Is this just your mom and dad doing this, or your siblings dragging you into all this?
Siblings, two siblings.
You have two siblings, they're there, they can help out with mom and dad. Why are you still doing it?
Well, I try to stay away, and when I do, I feel very, very guilty that I should. They're older, and I should help out as much as possible.
Well, you should help out as much as is safe. That's the matter there. I mean, you know, either one of two things. Either if you could be strong enough to put yourself in that situation and not be affected by it, that'd be one thing. Or maybe it's a situation that nobody could be strong enough to put themselves in that situation and come out in one piece. I don't know which it is, and I don't have time to get into it, unfortunately. But it's not that you should be there. It's that you should be there as much as is safe to be there. If you're putting yourself in harm's way to go back and do a good thing, I mean, you know, it's not good Do you see
if you have the strength to say to your siblings, look, I want to be here for Mom and Dad. On the days that I'm going to be here for Mom and Dad, you can't be anywhere around. You're driving me crazy. It's not good for our parents' health. I will come in. I will do the grocery shopping. I will sit with them. I will visit them. And then I will leave and you can take over. If you can't do that, if you're not in a place where you can say, these are my limits, these are my terms, both for my safety and the fact that this drama isn't good for our ailing parent, then you need to back way off of this because you're actually not doing the good that you think you're doing. There's no parent in the world that wants to see this kind of drama in their last days of life.
That's what I say all the time. I have a relative who said they're not going to be here forever to try to do as much as possible now, and it's like...
Well, but here, Kay, let me put it to you this way, all right? Going back a few years, when I was working on my swimming merit badge, one of the things that they told me was that if you ever see a drowning person in the pool and you're not a trained lifeguard, you can't jump in to save them. You can try to help them as much as is safe to save them, but if you actually jump in that pool and you try to drag them out, you're going to go down too. Because if you don't know what you're doing, then they'll just wrap their body around yours, and they'll be screaming and panicking and flailing around, and you'll have two drowning people in the pool.
Right. So you can send cards, and you can send letters, and you can send flowers, and you can send grocery money.
And when nobody else is around, you can go and maybe even be there.
You can go and hold hands. But the minute it's you jumping into the pool... And getting to the point where you have to go to bed for days and can't be there for your spouse and your four kids is the minute you know they're pulling you in and there's got to be a limit set. And you need somebody to work you through when it's safe and when it's not safe. Are you in counseling?
No.
Well, Kay, you need to get some help. I mean, you're going down emotionally here and you're trying to keep yourself afloat. And
you need the lifeguard. Okay, you need the lifeguard to be able to say, this is how we're going to rescue the situation, and this is how we're going to rescue you from this situation, and this is how we're going to make sure that this legacy doesn't get passed down to your four kids, because this is a lousy legacy to pass down. You need to get into counseling to deal with not necessarily years of family angst where you're going to be in therapy
for a million
years.
No.
You need a therapist who's going to teach you how to be safe and sound and be able to work against what they're doing to you that's causing this depression, that's sending you off to bed, and dealing with it in the right now.
Because this whole kind of retreat to bedtime is just not going to serve you, your husband, or your adult children, or your four children, excuse me, in any kind of way. And it's not going to cause the solutions that need to happen here so that you can have effective boundaries with your family of origin. I really want to encourage you to get some faithful help, Kay, so that you can be the person that God wants you to be, that strong woman of God who can set effective boundaries and who can really stand up there and speak what is true and stand up for what is just, and live that godly, joyful, and abundant life that is your inheritance.
You know where God is by the fruit that it's bearing, okay? You're being pulled in by your extended family, by this relative that talks to you, that I won't be around forever, try to be there. There's emotional strings being pulled. The fruit is rotten, it stinks, and it's covered with flies. God is not in this situation yet. He can be if you get the professional help that you need to work through this in a healthy way so that you can set the example for the family or at least become healthy enough to show the example to your present family, your husband, your four kids. There's a way to bring God into this. There's a way to bring the fruit of the Spirit into this. But you jumping in this pool over and over and over again because they're pulling your emotional puppet strings is not the way to bring God into this situation. It's a way to bring in guilt. It's a way to bring in drama. It's a way to bring in trauma, but it's not a way to bring in God. And he's waiting. He's just waiting for you to have enough strength. You had enough strength to call us today, all right? That's one step in the right direction. God's asking you to take the next step and get the help that you need to work through this step by step with somebody who can say to you, when you get a call from an aunt or an uncle or a sibling who says, you need to come here now, you need to do this, and then you can call your therapist and say, this is what they're saying, this is how I feel about it, where's the reality in all of this?
Okay, I want you to follow up by giving us a call at the Pastoral Solutions Institute at 740-266-6461. We'll keep working with you on this until you find the strength that you need to set effective boundaries and to live that life that God's calling you to. Again, to make an appointment, 740-266-6461, or look us up online at exceptionalmarriages.com. But please, please, Kay, know that, yes, of course, we should be as present to our parents as is safe. Right, but that does not necessarily mean putting ourselves in harm's way so that we have two people who are going down for the third time.
Or a whole family system in this case.
We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Setting boundaries in a healthy Christian context, extraordinarily important. We are here to help you figure out how to do that, though. Pick up the phone and give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us help you figure out that boundary between charity and protection of oneself, good stewardship of one's own emotional well-being. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your questions, comments, and insights coming up right after this.
Ave Maria Radio Spring Membership Drive is April 20th through the 24th, and we need volunteers to help us answer phones. It's fun and it's easy, even if you've never done it before. But you need to call now to reserve your slot on the schedule. Call us today. Give us an hour or two of your time during the week of April 20th through the 24th. Call 877-288-1077. That's 877-288-1077. Help support Catholic Radio and have fun doing it.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. We pray everyone is enjoying a blessed Easter season. In this April issue of the Chaldean News, we focus much of our attention on the refugees. Readers are getting in-depth coverage of the displaced Christians who are seeking refuge all over the world, including in the United States. We also cover the Detroit Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce annual dinner. This year, they honor Johnny Carmo as Businessman of the Year. He's the owner of three upscale markets in Oakland County. And Dr. Nadima Achu is this year's Humanitarian of the Year. Dr. Achu has spent years voicing her concern about the Christians in Iraq. Get your copy of the Chaldean News and learn about this ancient community living in modern times. You can subscribe or advertise today. Join LA Insurance, the CIA, Country Fresh, and Shenandoah Country Club. And you can benefit, too, by reaching the Chaldean community. Log on to www.chaldeannews.com and learn more.
This is Father John Carafi, inviting you to join me August 15, 2009, at HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York, for a one-day conference entitled Lord and Giver of Life. For more information and to register, visit FatherCarafiLive.com or call 1-888-223-6000. I look forward to seeing you Saturday, August 15, 2009.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Once again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825.
Right now, Greg, we're going to Gabriella in Texas.
Gabriella in San Antonio, welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Thank you so much for taking my call. God bless you, Father. Thank you so much. Well, I would like to try to explain shortly my question. I've been always Catholic, but many years of my life, I wasn't really practicing my Catholic faith. So during that time, around 20 years, I took decisions and I made decisions only following my own perception. So I have a first marriage, and then I got divorced, and then I married second time. And when I started realizing after some time, during all this time, thanks God with the help of the messages of Our Lady, the Virgin Mary from Medjugorje, somehow I started shaking and realizing about all the past mistakes that I've been doing. But at this point, well, I already made big mistakes on my life, and somehow I started getting back to where I need to be according to the Holy Catholic Church, which I really now consider the center of my life, and I want to do what I need to do. So the first marriage was annulled according to the Catholic annulation process. But now I am not second marriage. I'm married with a person that is not practicing the Catholic faith, and he doesn't want to be part of the Catholic faith, trying to make him understand the true faith.
Okay, couple questions here, Gabriella.
Well, basically, I just want to know what I need to do to be able to receive the Holy Sacrament.
Okay, couple questions. Was the man you're married to now ever baptized in a Christian or Catholic church?
Yes, he was baptized.
Okay, and was he baptized a Catholic or in another Christian denomination?
He was baptized Catholic, but somehow because of his mom, you know, pulling
he's
out.
He's fallen away.
Right.
Okay, and where did you get married?
Civil marriage was done in California.
No, but
I'm sorry,
no.
Were you married in a Catholic church or were you married in a civil ceremony?
No, it was just a civil ceremony, the second marriage. The
okay.
first marriage was a Catholic marriage in
right,
Mexico.
Right, it's annulled now. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Gabriella, right now, the marriage that you're in, the church would not consider to be valid because you're both baptized Catholics, and it was not a Catholic wedding. And because of that, you're not married in the eyes of the church, so you wouldn't be able to participate in the sacraments. However, you have two options, okay? The one is the easier of the two. I hope that your husband will go for it. The first option is to have what's called a convalidation of your wedding, which is where you and your husband go to your pastor and say, you know, we would like to have the marriage, if you will, blessed. Your husband would not have to agree to be a Catholic. He wouldn't have to agree to come to church or any of that. He just would have to agree to have the marriage blessed by the priest. You would essentially have the church convalidate your marriage. And in that case, then you would be free to receive the sacraments. Your first marriage was annulled. You were free to marry at that point. You know, you were free to have the marriage convalidated in the church. And at that point, you would be able to receive the sacraments.
You know, assuming that you're living a moral life with your husband, that there's no use of contraception, that kind of thing, which, again, would be another thing that would
right.
remove you from the sacrament.
Now, okay. having said that, the other option would be is if you were to tell your husband that you and he have to live as brother and sister at this point. Because right now, you're living you're living together. You're cohabitating as far as the church is concerned. And so this is the same sin as any other couple that would be living together without the benefit of marriage. And that's why you wouldn't be able to receive the sacrament. So if you were to tell your husband, you know, if he's not willing to have the marriage convalidated, then the next thing you would say is if you really want to receive the sacraments is to say, well, then I can't be with you physically anymore. I will continue to live here. I will continue to be your wife in every other way, but we can't resume a sexual relationship until we would get this marriage convalidated. Validated in the church because my first spouse is our Lord and I want to participate in the sacraments. So those are your two options. I hope that your husband will take the easier of the two.
Right.
But either way, you've got a way to receive the sacraments if you want to pursue that. All right,
right.
Gabriella, I want to thank you for the call. If there's more we can do for you here, I want to congratulate you on the long road you've taken back to the church and the hard work that you've really poured into this process and taking a lot of courage to get to this place. And God bless you for being willing to do it. I'm so glad that you called in today, and I want to encourage you in this process because it is important to do the work that's necessary to get our lives in order and to make those promises, you know, to the church that we want to be each other's best hope for becoming what God created us to be in this life and helping each other get to heaven in the next. Because, you know, listeners might be saying, well, why exactly is it that this poor woman would have to go through all this stuff? Well, why it is when you get married in the church, you're making a whole different set of promises to each other than you are in front of a JP. You know, the promises you make in front of a JP are basically to claim your kids and to pay your taxes together, you know, more or less. And whenever you get married in the church, you're making those promises, but you're also promising several other things. Now, not the least of which is, as I said, to help each other become everything God wants you to be in this life and to get each other to heaven. Those are important promises to make. And that's why the church says that you need to make those promises here, where we can see you doing it, you know, in the presence of the people that are your spiritual family. And that's the blessing of getting married in the church.
And, of course, that opens you up to all the grace of the sacrament of marriage. And, frankly, I don't think I'd ever want to try to pull off marriage without that grace, because it gets you through some pretty hairy times.
Ain't that the truth? Well, let's go to Angela in Dallas. Angela, welcome to the program. How can we help you?
Hello.
Hello, Angela. What's up?
Hi. Okay, this will be quick. I have a 27-year-old daughter who has a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old boys. She insists that it's okay for her to run around naked in front of their boys, and they even run around naked often.
I'm laughing.
She told me to prove it to her that that's detrimental to them.
Well, can you define run around naked for me a little bit? I mean, it's one thing if she's like, you know, turning on the Wiggles and they're all dancing naked in the living room. It's another thing if she happens to be, you know, in the same room getting dressed with the boys. Sorry, say again?
Nudist colony type.
just wandering around doing their
just
doing their
really
stuff.
Like naked all day, cooking naked, dancing the whole nine yards, or is this really just...
Yeah, if one of them has to go potty, she just runs them under the bathroom, sits them on the toilet.
And her philosophy is that it's fine for all three of them.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm a little confused on this.
Yeah,
okay, because here's the. I mean, one way of potty training, for instance. I mean, you're talking about 2 and a 3-year-old. I mean, one way of potty training is to let a kid run around without a diaper, you know, so that if they start feeling something, then you can put them on the potty and catch soon enough. And you know, that's not an uncommon thing.
Yeah, and it's one thing for a 2 and a 3-year-old to run around naked so that, you know, you're potty training and they get a sense of their bodies, but you're not, you know, letting them run the neighborhood that way.
I'm having a hard time identifying what's hyperbole here, Angela, and what's the real situation. I mean, you know, I'll just put some parameters up here just for the time that we've got. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, she's walking out of the shower and the bathroom to the bedroom to get dressed, the kids are seeing her naked, that's not really that big a deal. If we're talking about, you know, she's potty training them and they're running around for right now because that's the method that she's chosen to potty train, again, not really that big a deal. If they're just wandering around the house, you know, several hours a day just naked, eventually it's going to become a problem. 2 and 3, probably not that big a deal. As the kids get a little bit older, if she keeps it up, yeah, it's going to be an issue with regard to modesty and sexual propriety, because it, you know, kids do need their space, they need their boundaries, and it is.
And heaven knows, so does Mama.
At what age does she need to start worrying about it then?
You know, if it's the kids running around after they're potty trained and that kind of thing, it's time to let them have some modesty for herself. As we said, not too much during the day. If it's just part of the normal course of the day, that's one thing. If it's being celebrated, that's another thing.
Angela, pick up a copy of Beyond the Birds and the Bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids book. It's a book I did for our Sunday Visitor, and it'll help address this whole modesty question in a whole lot more detail than we've got time to get into. But thank you so much for the call. Folks, thank you so much for being with us this hour. It's been a pleasure spending this time with you. Thank you for allowing us to walk along with you during this part of your faith journey. Come on over and we'll continue the conversation at exceptionalmarriages.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, take our quizzes, find out more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling practice, and lots of other resources, all there at exceptionalmarriages.com. Then get out there and love the Lord
with all your heart, mind, and strength.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
So I choose to love with my heart, mind, and strength. With your precious grace, everything I face, I will overcome with my heart, mind, and strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. On the first Easter night, Thomas was not with the apostles when Jesus appeared to them, risen from the dead. But Scripture does not tell us where Thomas was. Because he was the type of person who needed to see things for himself, perhaps he was out looking for Jesus, on the very road on which the women that morning had said that they had seen him alive. But Thomas did not find Jesus until he returned to the community with Peter and the other apostles. This is an important lesson. We need the community of the church united around the successor of Peter. That community affirms the gospel of life. By staying close to the community, we are strengthened in our pro-life commitment, despite the fact that some in our lives may disagree. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Again this year, Father John Ricardo taught the RCA class at the parish where he serves as pastor. We have the recordings. We continue the series with the 12th class and more about the sacraments. This week, it's the sacrament of baptism. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and obviously